This evening, I've written on the board Christ's love. Before I begin comments, I just want to say there's hardly a time goes by when I come into services and look over the congregation assembled that I don't see the vacant seats. And I remember the names and faces of those who once filled those seats. Those who have gone on and walked back of things of the Lord. And those who have gone on to their reward. This congregation has undergone substantial change over the last 20 plus years. Substantial change. We've seen many who were older, experienced, stable, move on. And we've seen those who are in places maybe feel like they're not quite ready to step into those places of responsibility, stepping into those places. I'm thankful for that. Glad for everyone who is willing to do that. But I do tell you this evening, I think about those who have gone, and I miss them. I think about the times of when they were in some of their last battles, kneeling by their bed, praying with them, praying for them, praying God to be with them, to carry them and help them, those last phases and stages that they had, wishing that they could be here longer, knowing that there is a God who knows and does all things well, and believing that we can trust Him. God can be trusted. And thank the Lord for what He has done for you and me and what we have available to us. If all that we have hope of is, as the Scripture says, and I remember Brother Cliff Wascom used to quote this on a regular basis, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If the only hope that we have in Christ is in this life, we're missing something. Our hope in Christ should carry us beyond this realm into the eternal. This evening, my little burden is Christ's love. Brother Richard Madden used to share, and not in my hearing, but to the congregation there in Sepulpa, is what I have been told. Sometimes he would get up on a Sunday evening for service, and he would share with them what he called seed thoughts. Shared them with them some things that he wanted them to take home with them and to think about it. Seed thoughts. What's a seed going to do? A seed should find a place to germinate and grow. And we would like for that to be the occasion this evening, that these little words, scriptures we'll read, be seed thoughts. And be something that you can consider, you can meditate on, and find it to be a real benefit. I'd like to turn to the book of John again, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Begin, read a couple of verses here. Verses 34 and 35. This is words of John the Baptist. There were some who had question about Jesus, and they were asking him some questions about this man that he baptized. And in verses 34 and 35, John the Baptist was giving a little answer, part of his answer to it. He says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand." Two things that stand out to me here. John the Baptist said, "For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." The Holy Spirit, until this time, on all of the prophets, on all of the judges, was given in measure. Limitations. Sometimes the Spirit would be poured out upon them for a brief time. They would act under the auspice of the Spirit. They would act under the inspiration of the Spirit. They would speak under the inspiration of the Spirit, but it was only by measure. It was in very limited scope. It wasn't in its fullness. But John the Baptist is saying concerning Jesus, "For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto Him." In other words, what he is saying is, this man that you're asking me about, the complete, the fullness of God's plan is being unrolled by Him before your very eyes. Everything that God is, everything that God desires and designs for humanity, this man has the fullness of it all. The full measure of it. There's no limitation to it. There's not just a little bit poured out. It's going to be the complete thing. Jesus had the complete Holy Spirit. And John recognized that. And he was sharing with them that little piece of information. Then he said, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand." Jesus said basically the same words in chapter 5, verse 20. If you turn over a couple of pages. Chapter 5, verse 20. "For the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." Another thing I think about here is that it is typical, natural love, natural affection, for a father with his son to do what he can to impart to him those things that he needs to improve his life. Those things that he needs to be educated. Those things that he needs to understand, to learn how to cope with things in life. Oh, there's times whenever one of the children, one of the grandsons will get a little scratch on his knee or his finger. "Grandpa, I need a Band-Aid." And I look at that and say, "You don't need a Band-Aid. Let's go wash it off a little bit. It'll be okay. It'll be all right." You don't have to. Sometimes a Band-Aid, they think, will help. And sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind. That kind of thing can help. We realize that. But we also want them to understand that you need to be able to shake off some difficulties and adversities. You need to realize that within just a few minutes, you'll forget about that little scratch that you got when you turned your bicycle over. You'll forget about that and you'll go on and you'll do something else. And you'll continue to play and you'll forget about the Band-Aid that you thought you needed. Those are things that we want to impart to our children, those types of things. We want them to be able to be productive in society, in life. The Father loveth the Son. Jesus said, "The Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth." He doesn't withhold anything from me. He shows everything to me. He lets me be a part of His existence. Everything that God is, He has shown to me, and what I do, He said clearly, I don't come to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. The words that I speak, they're not my own, but they're the words from the Father. Those, that close relationship that they had one with the other, to be able to hear, because the Father loveth the Son. And I think it's important for us to understand and realize that what Jesus did while He was here in the flesh was not an easy thing, because He was flesh. And we read many accounts throughout the Scriptures where He was dealing with His flesh. We read the account when He was praying in the garden. The desperate need that He felt. He loved it. The Scripture says He loved the disciples. He loved them to the end. And He knew that His time was short with them. And He was praying with them and speaking with them, talking with them, teaching them, trying to impart to them things that they would need to go on after He was gone. He said to them, He very clearly tried to explain to them, "You're going to scatter like sheep because the shepherd is going to be taken away from you. And I know this is going to happen. And you'll be scattered. And it'll look like I'm alone, but I'm not alone. My Father is with me." And He said for them not to be afraid. Now, naturally, when the time came for them to see all the things that happened before their eyes, they were afraid. They were concerned. Peter, impulsive as he was, Jesus said, "Peter, before that rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen." But it did happen. And when it did happen, the Scripture tells us that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Looked at him with eyes, I believe, of love and compassion. Jesus said, "The Father loveth the Son, and He shows Him all things." And Peter, I did the same thing with you. I love you. And I tried to explain to you what would happen. And I know you didn't believe me. I know you said it wouldn't be that way. But it is that way. But Peter, when you're converted, Satan has desired to have you and sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Peter. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. So when Jesus looked at Peter, the Scripture says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. What have I done? He said it would come. And those eyes, when they looked at me, they weren't eyes of rejection. They weren't eyes of scorn. They weren't eyes of disdain. They were eyes of love. They were eyes that said, "Peter, it's going to be all right. I told you it was coming. I knew it would happen. And I wanted you to be prepared for it. And I know you can't fully be prepared for it. But Peter, I want you to know, I prayed for you. Remember the words. I prayed for you. Satan would desire to have you and sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Peter." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Stark contrast between the two men, Judas and Peter. One says he found a place of repentance. But Peter went out and wept bitterly and found a place of repentance with the Lord. So, Jesus was honest with him, honest with his heart, honest with his soul, telling him what he could anticipate, what he could expect. And he did. It did come to pass, just as he said. Now, I'd like to stay in the book of John. Go to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." I'd like to give us a definition from Thayer's Greek lexicon concerning this word abide. To remain. In reference to place, to tarry, not to depart. To continue to be present. To be held or kept continually. In reference to time, to continue to be. In reference to state or condition, to remain as one, not to become another or indifferent. Abide. To stay. In place, to tarry, not depart. In time, continue to be. Now drop down to verses 9 and 10. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Look at the words of the Master. He said in chapter 5, "The Father loveth the Son." John the Baptist said, "The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into His hand." Jesus said in chapter 5, verse 20, "The Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth." He doesn't withhold anything from me. He loves me. The Father loveth the Son. "As the Father hath loved me," these are the words of our Savior, folks. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Can we begin to fathom the depth of that love? Can we imagine the depth of love that God had for His Son, willing to come to a dreadful earth, willing to come down to an earth that was so full of hatred and scorn, knowing that that hatred and scorn was going to be heaped upon Him, knowing everything that He would have to endure while He was here, and He was willing to do it. In Scripture, John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. All right? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Do you see the comparison that He is making between Himself and His followers? I have stayed present in my Father's love. The Father loveth the Son. I have remained. I have tarried. I have not departed. I have continued to be present. I have continued to be, in reference to time, always in my Father's love. In reference to state of condition, I have remained as one. I have remained in that place of my Father's love. And He says to us, continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in His love. Christ's love. How deep is it? Is it measurable? Can it be fully comprehended? If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. You see, there is a part that's incumbent upon us to do. To be able to abide in that love, we have to stay within the framework that Christ has established for us to stay in. For Christ to abide in the love of the Father, for Him to stay, He had to stay within the framework that the Father had established for Him. And the Father had established a framework for Him, and that was for Him to be the sacrificial lamb for humanity. And He said, and I'm repeating here, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And may it be our desire, and may the seed thoughts go deep into our souls here this evening, folks, that for us to have the love of Christ abiding in us, and for us to abide in that love, we have to be willing to submit ourselves to Christ. We have to be willing to submit ourselves to His love, to His mercy, to His help, to His strength, to His power. Because Jesus said, what the Father has told me to do, I do. And when by doing that, I abide in His love. And if you will keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Abide, you'll stay. That is where we want to be, folks, in the center of the love of Christ, in the center of God's love. Everything that God had established and ordained for us is available to us in the center of God's will and the center of God's love. Thank God for what He did for us. Again, the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things, not by measure, not just a little bit, but everything that humanity could possibly need, thank God, was made available through Jesus Christ. And then on the day of Pentecost, Jesus clearly, He said, I know you don't want me to go away. This paraphrasing here. I know you don't want me to leave, but it's needful that I go away. But I'm not going to leave you here as a bunch of orphans. I'm not going to leave you here wandering around with no place to go. I'm not going to leave you here wandering around, wondering who do you look to, who do you sue to for help. I'm not going to do that to you. Yes, it's needful that I go away. But I'm going to send you another Comforter. And I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And He is going to teach you all things. He's going to bring things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He's going to lead you into all truth. Thank God for all that Christ did. Not just a measure, but the fullest measure. The complete package of what God ordained for humanity was in Christ. John the Baptist said, He's going to have the Spirit, but not by measure. It'll be full. And thank God, folks, you and I have that. We ought to love Him. And we have a song, I Ought to Love My Savior. And I wish we could sing that as we close out our service this evening. I ought to love my Savior. And I appreciate your time and attention. I trust these little seed thoughts will be something you can carry with you and meditate on them and realize how much, however much it was that God loved Jesus the Son, Jesus said He has loved us the same. How do you measure God's love? When the Scripture says, God is love. God is love. That denotes a state of being. When it says God is this, that means that His being is love. But it's so much more than that. He is everything, but He is love. And Jesus said, I abide in His love, and you can abide in My love, because I've kept His commandments. If you keep mine, you'll be in that love. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. Please pray for me. I want to make it to heaven. Amen.